Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. I tell you, it's easy to love somebody that loves you. Amen. That loves you in spite of all our shortcomings and little idiosyncrasies and things. It's easy. And Jesus loved us first. He loved me when I was unlovable. Amen. I'm so thankful for that this morning. Amen. I want to teach just a little bit this morning. Thank you so much, musicians and singers, for entertaining the Spirit of the Lord. I tell you, unless the Lord leads and guides, I'm like Moses. I don't even want to go. I don't want to go any further unless we can feel the Spirit of the Lord and unless we entertain Him. I'm going to read one scripture in your hearing. A very familiar passage, and teach on something that's not a one-time thing. And that is repentance. You know, some people will say, well, I've already repented and received the Holy Ghost. I tell you, if it wasn't for repentance, I wouldn't be standing here right now. Anybody had to repent more than once? Absolutely. Absolutely. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. You may be seated. Lord, touch us this morning. I titled this little lesson, Repentance, the difference between life and death. And I was talking to Brother Baggett about it the other day, and he said, I'm telling you, I don't think you can teach enough on repentance. And what I want to try to help us with this morning is about what repentance really means, what it really means to us when you repent. Historically, we've been taught to believe that repenting was simply just turning away from your sin and accepting the fact that you are a sinner, dying out to your sin, And just repeating over and over, Jesus, forgive me, Jesus, forgive me, Jesus, forgive me. However, repentance is referred to in this scripture, if you know the original Greek word, and I know I do this quite often, but it helps me and it will help you to understand what it means. Repentance comes from the word metanoia, and meta is a term, it's simply a prefix that means beside or with. It's used in the scientific field. It's used in the medical field. We all know we have tarsal bones in our feet, isn't it? Isn't that where the tarsals are? And the metatarsals, that's where this word comes from, repentance. Comes from metanoia. Meta simply means beside or with. And it is coupled with the word noia, which means to perceive or to understand. So repentance is referred to as the literal changing of one's mind. And it's the embracing of thoughts and thought patterns beyond its present limit. Does that make sense? In other words, sometimes we talk about thinking out of the box. Well, repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry, forgive me, Lord. It's the literal changing of your mind and going a different direction or having a different mindset. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul was writing to the Romans and he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to be a new people with a new mind, a whole new mindset when we repent. And our refusal to conform to this world's values must go a lot deeper than just a normal level of customs and behavior. And it must be firmly founded in our minds to be transformed and renewed in our minds. And only when we repent and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to renew us, to re-educate us, and to redirect us, so to speak, then is your mind truly transformed. So what do we mean? Repentance replaces negative thoughts and connotations of the mind with positive thoughts. And I will explain that in just a moment. It focuses on the superior state of mind that's being approached rather than the inferior state of mind that you're coming from. Does that make sense? It's going to help us focus on what God is and where we're going by repenting rather than focusing on where we came from and what He has delivered us from. And I know some people think their upbringing and their teaching and what they've been exposed to all their life, it just won't let them change their mind about things. And I'm not necessarily talking about religion. I'm telling when you grow up and your mind is set, it's hard to change your mind. I had a wonderful father-in-law. He was a good man. But I tell you, Paul had his way of doing things. And one time his brother-in-law was out in the garden with him, and they were talking about gardening, and they were arguing over about how to do it. And my father-in-law would say, "Well, I've done it this way." And Uncle Shorty said, "Well, you've done it wrong all your life. This is how you're supposed to do it." Neither one of them was going to give in. Both of them pretty hard-headed. But I'm telling you what, repentance will allow you to change your mind and renew your mind. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That word strongholds, when I looked that word up, I've read this all my life, but I looked it up a long time ago. I was doing some studying. The word strongholds in verse 4, you know what that means? Reasonings, dogmas, imaginations, theories, and philosophies. I'm here to tell you, folks, it's easier to tear down a fortified city than it is to tear down a theory, a philosophy, a dogma, a reasoning. It's hard to change people's minds sometimes. But I tell you, that's what repentance would. And the fifth verse talks about taking into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The word thought in verse 5, that means every concept of the mind, a device or a contrivance of the mind. What he's saying here is you need to take control of everything of your mind that you had in your mind about who you were and where you came from, and cast it aside and point your mind, your renewed mind, toward me and what I have for you. That's what repentance is, folks. I know it's godly sorrow. I know it's turning from your sin, but it is a renewing of the mind. So true repentance is a changing of one's mind and putting the mind on the right course. Jesus said in Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 15, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Not only repent, but believe what I have in store for you. Believe what I've been preaching to you. Believe what I've been teaching you. Change your mind. And we understand repentance means a total change in the way we think and our outlook on the world and our fellow man. I tell you, it's not just the mere regret of past evil, but the recognition that sin is somehow separating us from God and from God's peace and freedom in this life. I'm telling you, when you repent, you need to understand you just hadn't turned your back on sin, but you have understood that what you were doing is separating you or was separating you from God's peace and His freedom. How do we accept? By the changing of our mind, by getting a new mindset. And as I was studying this, I come across a saying by Saint Basil. I'd never heard of him, but it was called St. Basil the Great. But what he had to say I thought was real good. And his quote was, repentance is the beginning of salvation, but lack of understanding is the death of repentance. So if we don't understand what we're doing when we repent, well, we're not going to gain anything. We have to understand that our repentance takes us out of the mindset of dwelling on our past human sinfulness and makes us realize our human insufficiency and limitations and how much we need God and how our mindset needs to start focusing on what God can do for us. Amen. And once this occurs, we can receive the promise of eternal life through Christ with a knowledge have been remitted on the cross of Calvary. That's where they were, by his shed blood on Calvary. Hebrews 9 and 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We must apply the blood to be saved. You think about the Israelites when they left Egypt. They were given instructions of what to do. And I'm telling you, just killing the lamb, taking the lamb and keeping it for a little while, preparing the meal like he said, killing the lamb was not going to do if the blood was not applied to the doorpost. We can do all we want to, but if we do not apply the blood in repenting of our sin and changing our mindset, God told him, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not just because you killed it and you had a feast, but when the blood was applied to when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And it is the very same today when we repent and change our mindset and we accept the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins. And Lord, set me on a redirected track to know more about you and what you can do for me. Don't let my mind and my limitations and my small thinking get in my way. But let me focus on you. Let me redirect my mind on you through my repentance. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. There is no way to gain God's love and favor by our own actions. I'm telling you, there's nothing I have done or ever could do that would gain God's love and favor. And to never really know the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23 says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. To me, the most important word in that entire scripture is the simple little word, new. K-N-E-W. That word new comes from the Greek word genosko. And it means to learn, to know, to get knowledge of, or to perceive. Now, you got to understand, Jesus is talking to a bunch of Jewish people. And the word new, or the word gnosko in the Greek, was a Jewish term for intimate relations between a man and a woman. And from this pulpit, many times, we have taught, and Pastor and Brother Gidrose have taught, that it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about religion. It's about intimate knowledge with Jesus Christ. And that's what they understood him to say when he said, sorry, I never knew you. Of course, if you read the scripture just prior to that, they talk about, well, we've done this and we've done that. And in your name, we did this. Sorry, I never knew you. You never had the intimate relationship with me like you should have. And that all goes all the way back to our repentance and our redirecting of our mind through our repentance to focus on Jesus Christ and what he can do and having that relationship with him. I tell you, he wants us to focus on who he is and accepting his divinity and changing our mindset. Amen. Not just focus on our sin and just leaving it behind. Because when we do this, our heart becomes available for what the Lord has for us, and that is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, it's so wonderful to be able to say, okay, sin, I am through with you. I have focused my mind this direction. I'm changing my mind. I'm getting a new mindset. And the Lord fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm so thankful after that, that sometimes we slip and fall. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we say things. And that's why I ask you, has anybody ever repented? Sure, I have repented more than once. And when I've turned my back on something I've said and I've done that I knew I shouldn't have, and the Spirit will check me and tell me you shouldn't have done that, that's when I say I'm refocusing my mind. God, I'm forgetting about that. I am so sorry. I'm going to make it right, but I'm going to redirect my mind in another direction and never do that again to the best of my ability. You help me in my spirit. That's what it's all about, repentance. So if we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38 again, and don't get me wrong, I'm not changing the scripture or anything, but what we've talked about, let's read it again. Then Peter said unto them, embrace thoughts beyond your present limitations or thought patterns, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm trying to teach us, folks? That through our repentance and through our turning our back on sin and redirecting our mind, we can get away from our little simple thought patterns and stuff and start focusing on Jesus Christ and what he has for us and in our minds. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That word come to repentance, that word come means to leave space or to make room or to give place or yield to or to have space for receiving or holding something. Comes from the Greek word choreo. And if you study that scripture, that all should come to repentance, if you read it closely, there are three great truths in that one scripture. And the first one that you recognize is that time is not the same with God as it is with us. God is not on a time schedule, folks. And the Bible, if you read the scripture right before that, the writer talks about 1,000 years is one day 1,000 years. That's one thing we have to understand. God's time schedule is not like it is to us. And it's easy to get discouraged in the slow progress of time and things in this life. How many has ever been through any bureaucratic red tape to get something done? If you're carrying insurance, you have. Every time you turn around, I tell you, when my wife went through that surgery and went through that insurance stuff, I've never been so tangled up and balled up in mess in all my life. We get aggravated and discouraged at that sort of stuff. And what Paul is saying, don't get discouraged because God's promises are not slack the way man talks about slackness. He's trying to give people space and time to repent. You know, and I know we, you know, the Bible talks about us praying, even so come, Lord, quickly. I'm telling you, I'm glad God held it off long enough for me to repent. I'm telling you, I'm glad that he took the time, you know, to let me come to God. And I should never get aggravated in the fact that he's delaying his coming because the Bible says it's not his wish that any should perish, but that all should come or give space to or time for repentance. Amen. So the second thing Paul is saying there, Peter is saying there, he said time should be regarded as an opportunity. And the time that God gives us is nothing more than a greater opportunity for men to repent. I'm telling you, every day that I live, folks, is a day of mercy. Amen. It's just another day of God's mercy. God does not want anyone to perish. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23 says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? I'm telling you, it's not his will that any should perish. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. He loves this world. God does not take joy in the death of a sinner. I tell you, he would much prefer that he turn and repent and have the promise of eternal life. And I don't know about you, but I've been guilty before God got a hold of my heart. We should never rejoice and delight in the fact that a sinner suffers death. Do you understand that? It behooves us to be compassionate about everybody. Somebody might do you wrong, and you may think in your mind and your heart,
Well, I tell you what, they deserve everything they get.
I'm telling you, God doesn't see it that way. I'm telling you, we should never delight in the misfortune of anybody. Because I tell you, the scripture talks about, except for the grace of God, there go I. Amen. It could be me. God loves his creation. And he does not concern himself with what we can do on our own. I'm telling you, he waits patiently and gives us time and space in our thought process to realize his love for us and to accept the gift of his dying on the cross and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And only then and only then, can he fill us with his Spirit and lead us and guide us to walk with him in his way. And the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost being our guide. I tell you, when the Holy Ghost is your guide and leading, guiding you into all truths, like it says, you will make the right decisions. That's what the scripture says. It will, the Holy Ghost, the Bible doesn't say anywhere the Holy Ghost will keep you. It says it will lead and guide you into all truths. Amen. And I learn new truths all the time when I read the scripture and in my walk with God. And I tell you, we won't be like Proverbs 3 and 5. We won't be leaning unto our own understanding. I tell you, I want my mindset to be turned toward Christ. I want my repentant heart and my repentant mind to be turned toward Christ and what he can do and what he can teach me. I tell you, a great example of repentance and what it means was found in the story of the prodigal son. And he came to the realization that what really mattered, was the peace, safety, and comfort that he found in his father's house. Amen. The Bible talks about after his embrace with his father, and he gave him the robe, the ring, and the shoes. Well, that was just a byproduct. That is just a byproduct of his willingness to accept and believe. I am much better off here than I was in that hog pen. And you have to understand that the hog pen was a swine was a metaphor for extreme uncleanness in Jewish culture. But he understood that man, I am changing my mind. The Bible says when he came to himself and he was laying in that hog pen, the Bible says he longed to fill his belly with the husk that the hogs were eating, but no man would give him the okay. He was actually forbidden to eat what the hogs were eating unless somebody would tell him he could. That's how bad off this guy was. But he came to himself. Suddenly he began to forget about, look, I've made a mess of what I've done in my past. It's time to change my mind. I've got a new mindset. I'm going back to my father's house. And that's what repentance is. Paul, he compared it to the Athenian Games. And the Athenian Games is nothing more than the forerunner of the Olympic Games as we know it today. They were conducting those even back in the day of Paul. And he compared those games as metaphors with a Christian walk with God. And he described repentance as a changing of the mind, as running a race. And when we realize Christ's blood already covers our sin, and eternity with Christ is the ultimate prize, I tell you, that makes me want to strive for perfection. So like Paul said, after we've truly repented, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get a hold of what got a hold of me, but I have to change my mind. I have to repent. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And he's going to tell us what kind of mind to have. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you don't understand, keep focusing on God and what he has, and your mind will be changed. That's what repentance is. God will change how you think. So repentance is not only dying to your sin and turning away, but it's also the death of your old way of thinking. It's opening your mind to the fact that only Jesus' blood can save you, take away our sins, and give eternal life. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in holiness. I tell you, living the Christian life is an ongoing process. It's something that never stops. I've said oftentimes back at this pulpit that we don't ever plateau in our walk with God. It is a constant climb. Amen. And I tell you, we all have a new nature, but sometimes we don't automatically all have good thoughts and attitudes. But I tell you, if we keep listening to God, we will be constantly changing. And your mind will be constantly focusing on God. You will change, not only leaving your sin behind, but renewing your mind. Amen. That is what repentance is. I thought about David as I was studying this. The Bible talks about David being a man after God's own heart, and sometimes that may be hard to grasp in light of what David did and the sins he committed. And I read that story again just to refresh my memory. And I'm telling you, David, he broke 40% of the Ten Commandments in one fell swoop. He coveted, he committed adultery, he created a falsehood, he lied, and he committed murder. But I tell you, David, he got up from that situation after that baby died. You heard Brother Baggett preach it the other night, so good. That he changed his mind and he focused his mind on what is could be. He said, he can't come back to me, but said, I can go to him. David's whole mindset was changed when he repented. He was a repentant heart, and that's what God loves. And I'm telling you, folks, when we repent, it's not only leaving behind what we've done. And I'm not necessarily talking about a rank sinner that's never known the Lord. Us as Holy Ghost-filled people that encounter things in our life that sometimes we have to repent over. We have to focus on what's ahead of us and, excuse me, in the mind of God and forget about what's behind us. So don't let that bog us down. Let's renew our minds through repentance. You thank the Lord for that? Amen. I'm glad we have that. I'm glad we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. God bless you this morning. I love you. Thank you for your kind attention. I hope we learn just a little bit about changing our mind through repentance. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back for our worship service in a moment.